Without further ado, I'm delighted to say we have Barry Massey on the line from Greystones Golf Club. How are you doing, Barry?
Good evening, lads. How's it going?
Not too bad. A hectic weekend for you, I'd say. What a weekend for Paul Dunne. Could he have imagined that at the start on the last Wednesday and Thursday before the Open? Can you fill us in what the atmosphere was like and the atmosphere even in Greystone as well?
Well, the atmosphere was electric, to be quite honest with you. And in Greystone's golf club, it was crazy. I mean, like, we haven't had any club for years and forever before. And as you know, golf clubs can be a little bit fussy and a little bit, you know, snobby, if you excuse the expression. But anything went this weekend in there. I mean, there was kids from all local kids from the area, and it was great, and it was a fantastic atmosphere. Boys, kids, boys, girls, women, men, you know, it was really, really great. And as regards St. Andrews, well, that was just something else altogether. It was huge support for Paul over there from Greystones Golf Club, and from Ireland. You know, there was a big Irish crowd there, big Irish support, and he also had some supporters from America, from his university were there. Some of his teammates and made the journey over to support him, so it was great.
Yeah, and it must have been like, the only thing I can think of is something like Italian 90 out in the golf club. Would that be a fair reflection?
Yes, absolutely. The Italian 90, there was TV cameras, there was screaming, there was singing, there was roaring, there was, you know, and unfortunately, like, yesterday, you know, wasn't such a good day for him, but, you know, in the club, it went from a big high to a bit of a drop in the atmosphere, but it was still, it's fantastic for the golf club. And it's fantastic for Paul Dunne, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, and he's jumped up 719 places after the performance over the weekend. So it seems like he's destined to become a professional. I heard his dad speaking on the radio this morning. Can you take us back and give us maybe a bit more of the background of Paul that you know? And was he always someone destined to be a professional golfer?
Well, he in 2003... the golf club in Greystones here, the lobbying from the junior members, the junior committee, we got the age change from 12 to 10 to start the kids at 10 to make them more competitive. And the idea behind that was we were trying to make it golf the first sport. You know, what happens is we get a lot of kids who play GAN, soccer, rugby, and they come into the golf club and it's their second sport. So we came up with this idea, if we make it their first sport, we can become more competitive as a golf club, you know, to play against the likes of the Island, you know, the Paso, the big golf clubs in the Royal Dublins of this world. You know, we want to try and create a team that we could compete with. We could compete against these guys. So we decided we'd try and change the age to 10.
Yeah.
Now, red tape with golf clubs, as you probably know, is, you know, like a lot of the membership is old. You get a lot of the members who go to play golf to get away from their kids. And you know, it was a difficult job to change it, and but we got it through. And Paul was one of the first ones to come in as a 10-year-old. He was the first group came in as a 10-year-old, and Paul was a great soccer player, and he was a really, really good guy. Played with Eric Ove and Greystones, and he was a fantastic tennis player. He was on the Leinster coaching panel for tennis as a 10-year-old. So he was an all rounder, and he was a good rugby player too. But he started to play the golf, and immediately he clicked, you know, like he enjoyed it, and he could see he was hitting the ball further than the other kids, because he was a stocky little kid, you know, and he could hit it, and he was strong, and, you know, like he had a bit of a tennis grip, which hampered him a bit, and we knew that as he got older, that was going to hamper him more, because basically what you do is you get kids in, you try and give them the basics, you know, the stance, the grip, you know, the swing, the finish, and you know, you try and put them on the right road.
Yeah.
But if the kids love it then, but if they have a bad habit and they're practicing, they're just practicing bad golf.
Yeah.
So we got our pro, Carl Holmes, to come and expect them every week. We give them the basics. He'd come and have a look and say, no, you need to change your grip. No, you need to, you know, move your head position. Try and get them the basics right. That was the idea behind the coaching, you know, and it worked with him. And the club became very successful at that age, you know, as they grew, because you get one or two good players and all the other kids in the club want to be as good as them, and it brings them all on, and it's fantastic, you know.
Hey, Barry, how are you? It's Shane here.
Oh, Shane, how are you?
How are you doing? Barry, I should preface this question by saying to people that you and I worked together for several years, and I've been listening to you banging on about this fella, among many other things, for many years. And it's great to see you say something and it actually come through finally. But you wrote a piece today, over the weekend, and in it you say, you were talking about, you know, as he was coming through as an 11-year-old and that, and you say, we knew then that he was something special. No nerves, a hunger to win, and a head way beyond his years.
Well, he was different. Donner was different. Like, all the other kids, like, we brought in this policy that when the kids came into the club, we encouraged the parents to give them a fiver every week, that they would get sausages and chips and a drink in the golf club afterwards, you know, to get the kids to mingle, meet each other. And basically what we did, Shane, was that we brought in local kids. At the time, you had to be a member soon to be a member of the golf club. Mm. And I'm sure that's the same in a lot of golf clubs. But we decided, we started this academy where we took in 10 local kids. And then we increased it to 20 local kids. So these are kids who were playing on the golf course, and we were employing a ranger to keep them off it.
Yeah.
So, and what was happening was we're getting thrown off the golf club by the ranger, and the kids are coming back damaging the golf course. So we came with this idea, if we get these kids to play, to have more respect for the place, and the general area will see we're giving something back to the area.
Where, Barry, he's playing with Greystones United, he's playing with Aero Ogue, and he's you know, making waves. I think he was almost best at tennis. Why did he go with golf?
He went with golf because all of it, his handicap began to plummet from, like, probably the second week. He could see God, he really had a talent for it, you know. He was just head and shoulders above everybody else, and immediately, and he was playing with the older kids and beating them, and, you know, he wanted to win. And he could see that he loved it, you know, basically. It wouldn't be unusual to see Paul. I could be going up there in the morning and going up for a game of golf, and Paul would be on the putting green. I could be in 4 hours later, Paul would still be on the putting green.
Mm.
You know, he had this hunger, this focus, and it was just like, you could see there was something different about him. When the other kids were having the sausage and chips, Paul was having bananas and pasta. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he was looking after his health, his body. He knew what he wanted to achieve, and he, from a very young age. And I never actually saw Paul throw a golf club on the golf course or get annoyed. Hit a bad shot, he just got on with it. You know, he's a great attitude. And unfortunately, if you watch the TV now, you see the likes of Tiger, and he's, you know, he's banging clubs and that type of thing. And it gives the wrong impression to the kids, and it, you know, it's a bad example. I mean, if you look at Paul Dunne, you won't see him doing that. You won't see him getting annoyed. You know, he's got this really calm demeanour.
And
gets it off me, Shane.
Yeah. Barry Neal here again. It sounds like he's someone who could be destined to be a household name, and that he'll be very popular with the people watching it because of that demeanour and the all-round good guy kind of what you're portraying here.
Yeah. He's also a very, very intelligent kid. Like, I mean, he's got 550 points in his leave, and, you know, like, he didn't neglect.
I hate him already here, though.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Gone off him, going off him.
He's good at tennis, he's good at soccer, he's good at GAA and golf.
He's good at everything, yeah. You know, he's one of those guys, he's not around sportsman, Shane, and you know what I'm talking about there.
Yeah, the opposite to whatever you are, that's what he is. Come here, I always remember you telling me when you were involved in youth football that you came up against Stephen Ireland in an under-15s game, and
that's right,
it was just this extraordinary head and shoulders above everyone thing about him. Would Paul have similar traits, or is it a different thing altogether with him?
Yeah, certainly I was involved with the Wicklow team. We were playing in the Kennedy Cup, and Stephen Ireland was playing for Cork, and he was just, whoa, he stood out like a sore thumb. He was fantastic. But Paul, you see, in club golf, you don't get that opportunity. He stands out in Greystones, but nobody else knows about him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Unless you're involved. So in about 2007, he began to make his mark. He won the under-15s, Connacht under-15 championships. And then he won Ulster under-15s the same year. So he would have been 13, 14, you know. I think he was 14 years of age. A year later, he was a member of the... he was under-16 Irish International. That was the first... Again, the GUI brought the age brackets down for in international status. You know, what used to be 18, they brought it to 16.
Mm.
He was another 16 international. He played for the European boys, and he began to make his name in club golf around and Irish golf. You know, so but he just kept winning and winning. He won the Irish boys.
But was there any inclination?
The Irish boys.
Was there any inclination that what was going to happen at the weekend was going to happen?
Well, if you asked me, Shane, to be quite honest with you, if you had asked me last week that I think he was going to be leading the Open, I would have laughed at you. But I would have told you I would have fancied him to make the cut, without a doubt, because he had it. I knew he was capable of shooting 69 there, 60, and when he shot the first 69, I said, grand. Shot the second one, I said, wow, God, this was great. But then he shot 66 on Sunday. I mean, well, Christ Almighty, you know, like I was actually sitting here in the house watching it
at home.
I got a WhatsApp from my son, and he was at Benny Cassim, the rock concert, where probably I should have been. And I got a WhatsApp from him saying, "Are you at the Open?" And I said, "No, I'm watching on the telly." And he said, "You should be there." And I said, "You know what? You're right. I'm going." So immediately I'm going to start making plans to get there. And but it was great. And he's just, I would have a bet on him to win a major in the next 10 years. Not just be a success in the tour.
Well, this is the next thing, isn't it?
Bet on him.
Like people, a lot of people will equate this to kind of the Shane Lowry thing, where an amateur comes and just bursts onto the scene, and he's like, he's on the front of every paper yesterday morning, the Monday morning papers. I know he hadn't won it, but it was almost a strange kind of blessing that it went to the Monday, because he ended up in front of all the papers just by leading on the Sunday night. What? How do we go next? Like, will he make the Walker Cup team now?
Well, I think he has to be a certainty for the Ryder Cup, for the Walker Cup team now. But just remember, you've Gavin Moynihan from the Island, who is a Walker Cup player. He played 2 years ago. You've Gary Hurley from Waterford. You've Jack Hume from Nace. So you've got four Irish players. Are they going to pick four Irish players? I don't think so.
Right.
You know, so there's a chance. There's a chance he couldn't be picked. You know, so but
that's never going to happen, is it?
I don't think it's going to happen now. But I mean, before last Thursday, it could have happened. I mean, so now he has this opportunity to go pro. I mean, I was listening to Gary Murphy on Sunday, and Gary Murphy said that his advice would be go pro now. But I tell you, Paul will think long and hard about this. He's not stupid. He's a very intelligent lad. He's a degree in business and finance. And he'll work out he'll do the maths type of thing, and he'll make his own decision.
Yeah.
But whatever, I know that the Walker Cup is very special to him. I know that was his target.
Hmm.
And normally when he sets targets, he achieves them. And I have a feeling that deep down that he'd stay. I hope he's picked, and I hope when he is picked that he performs very well. And I mean, I actually think he will, to be quite honest with you.
And you'd expect
it's his decision to make.
You'd expect him then to go pro after the Walker Cup.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt, he'd go pro. I'm sure. You see, if he went pro now, he's going to rely on invitations. He has to go for his pro card. So he'd be like, when he finishes the Walker Cup, he'd have to go to tour school and that type of thing. And but I think it's only a matter of time before he makes the breakthrough, and I really think he's going to be a great success. I think he's the next big thing to come from Ireland.
Brilliant stuff, Barry. Great to have you on, and we look forward to chatting to you again.
Cheers, Barry.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
Okay. All the best, Shane. Take it easy.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
And that was Barry Massey of The Independent, and actually that article, we've tweeted it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's interesting as a background for people, because I guess people want to know more, and they want to, you know, it's just, it was an incredible weekend.